1. Aiden Miller. Double B Dude Ranch, Brooks Lake, Du Bois, Wyoming, Day 80. Aiden Miller turned his back to the wind and stared up at the snow-covered Pinnacle Buttes. The cold had teeth. Early winter storms had blanketed the northern portion of the Wind River Range of Wyoming with a foot of snow. A heavy mist hovered over nearly frozen Brooks Lake. Behind him, the once proud Double B Dude Ranch stood in ruin, its skeletal frame silhouetted against the pale dawn sky. Aiden slowly turned, his body still aching from the firefight with the People's Liberation Army 4 days earlier. Dirk, Neil's ranch manager, had died in the fight. Members of Aiden's group had joined with resistance fighter Aaron McCarter's team to ambush a PLA convoy outside of Du Bois. The Chinese military had been attacking towns, and it was feared they would soon discover the survivors at Double B Ranch. And they had. And while the resistance fighters were pinned down by the People's Liberation Army convoy near Du Bois, the enemy had come to Brooks Lake. Smoke from the fire that had destroyed the lodge still lingered in the air, clinging to the frozen earth like a ghost that refused to move on. The fire hadn't just taken their shelter. It had sliced a scar into everything they'd fought to build. This place had been their refuge after fleeing the fighting near his wife Mia's family ranch in Farson, Wyoming. And now it was a graveyard. Neil, Mia's father, had stood his ground to buy them time and paid the price. It had been a miracle that Mia and the boys had survived the attack. Aiden swallowed hard. He'd nearly lost them. But they'd made it to the bug-out cabin near Lava Mountain, where they'd all been hiding out since. Aiden and Serenity Jones had slipped away before dawn and returned to the site to see if they could salvage any of the group's belongings. He walked the perimeter of the ruins. Each step was deliberate, each glance calculated. Aiden crouched and ran his gloved fingers over a half-melted zipper pull. Blue nylon, maybe from Xavier's jacket. He stopped beside what had been the front entryway of the lodge. Where timber walls had once held warmth and laughter, now only blackened beams jutted from the snow. The porch was gone, but the stone steps remained, scorched and rimmed in frost. Burned planks fanned outward like ribs. Nearby, empty shell casings lay half buried in a shallow crust of snow. A trail of frozen blood arced past them and vanished into the woods. After one last sweep to check if any of their possessions still existed, Aiden called out to Serenity. "There's nothing left worth bringing with us." She didn't answer. He turned to find the tough-as-nails 16-year-old clutching a teddy bear to her chest. Tears streamed down her cheeks. Aiden moved to her side and placed a hand on her shoulder, but said nothing.
"I'm sorry,"
she whispered. "You have nothing to be sorry about." She wiped away tears.
"I hate that Finn and Mia's boys have to know this life. Homeless, constantly pushed from one place to another."
Aiden pictured Jane Rostrum's 7-year-old grandson cowering with Mia and the boys during the bombing. That poor child had lost his mother the day of the EMP, and nearly every day since had witnessed horrific violence. He'd been forced from every home they'd tried to make for him. Serenity knew all too well what homelessness felt like. She'd lived on the streets, alone, for several years after running away from foster care. It was only after the EMP sent the nation into chaos that she was reunited with her parents, Keith and Sadie. Then she'd lost her father back at Mueller's compound in Pennsylvania, another of the PLA's strikes on civilians